Quest. We love you. God bless.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those in elected office. September 21st, the city of Port St. Lucie is holding a special election for mayor and city council, District 3. FloridaVotesValues.com has produced a voter guide for this special election. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to find out where the candidates stand on issues that matter to you. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
If you were alive on September 11, 2001, I'm sure you remember the attacks on the World Trade Center and the other attacks that we endured on the Pentagon and also the plane that was grounded on the way to the White House. You probably also remember when George W. Bush was standing at the rubble and people were yelling, "We can't hear you." And he said, "The world hears you, and pretty soon the people that brought these buildings down are going to hear from all of us." And with that, we launched a war on terror to root out Al-Qaeda. But one thing that happened from that is we saw actually really entering that war, we really didn't see a clear end or a clear vision of how to end the war, how to get out of Afghanistan. And we've been there for up until just recently, for almost 20 years. And many people have died. Many people even that really, because we're trying to build a nation. We're going to talk about some of this today and also talk about the disastrous withdrawal and really how our government has failed to protect innocent human life and the lives of the men and women who serve in this nation, the lives of the people who the Afghans who fought and who risked their lives to interpret for our nation. There's even one, and many of those are left. The interpreters and some Americans are still in Afghanistan. They need our prayers, and we need to really pressure our government to protect them. There's even an Afghan interpreter who in 2008 saved the life of then Senator Joe Biden, who was left in Afghanistan, was not brought back or brought to America for safety. He is now in hiding because if the Taliban finds him, he probably will be killed. Now we're going to look at what the Bible has to say a little bit about war, also about what the Bible has to say about national defense and our condition as individuals, also what makes a nation great? What makes a nation that can stand on its own, a nation, and what qualities are necessary for a people to live in peace, with one another? You see, we're not just going to pick on the Biden administration. We're going to apply the Word of God to what we have seen and what we've been through in this nation with this war. And really, what we're going to see is that there are more than one administration that is at fault, and we actually need to go back to a place where we would actually serve God and keep His commandments. The first thing that we're going to look at, and many people actually believe, many people on one side of the aisle actually decry the national defense and money being spent for the defense of our nation. One thing these people need to realize, though, is that national defense is one of the few legitimate functions of government. And when I say few, there are only a few legitimate functions of government. Where do I get that idea? From reading the Bible. You can actually read the Bible. God is the creator of the earth. He's the creator of us. He created families. He created the church. He created the government, and God actually orders and has placed certain criteria and certain functions, has authorized certain functions for government. And really, government today does way more. Our government today does way more than what God and what the Bible actually authorizes. So when you read the Bible, and you should read the Bible, we've been encouraging you to read the Bible. We're supposed to abide in His Word, in the Word of God, so that we might know the truth, so that the truth may set us free. But more than just being set free individually, God, the Word of God should be applied to our lives, our families, our churches, our cities, our counties, our states, and our nation, and not only to our nation, but to all the nations of the earth, because the Word of God is the truth. And if other nations get a hold of this, then and they start obeying God's Word, God can bless them as well. One of the things that we see in the Bible is that God is a warrior, and he does not prohibit nations from being involved in war. There are certain wars that are just and certain wars that aren't just. There are certain things that we should be involved in and things that we shouldn't be involved in. But in Psalm 144, verses 1 through 2, we read, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me." So God is a God that teaches His people to make war and to be successful. You know, when you go to war, you should actually try to win. You should want to have to actually prevail. And this is something that really one of the things we see in our culture and in the wars that we have actually fought recently is that the rules of engagement really have been detrimental to actually winning. They haven't been really geared toward actually going in, getting the job done, winning the war, and getting home. And one of the big mistakes that George W. Bush did make in his administration and subsequent administrations continued up until President Trump actually said, we need to end this war. And then President Biden actually did end the war. One of the things that we see, though, is this idea that we can build nations, that we can take people who are just, you know, maybe they've been oppressed, they have been other people have lorded it over them, they have had dictators that have been oppressive, and there are people out there, and by the way, these people exist not only in the Republican Party, but also in the Democratic Party, that really believe that man is basically good, that these nations are basically good, that all they really need to succeed, to be a free people, to have the liberties that we have, is to be liberated And then they'll have the ability to protect themselves. We need to give them a constitution, and then they'll be able to protect themselves. But the Bible speaks differently, and we need to realize that what we have in America is not just great because we have the constitution that we have, or that we have the government structure that we have. America is great because America has served God, because we have been based our government and our laws and the hearts of men have been bent toward obeying God. Obviously, we haven't fully and completely and obeyed God and haven't kept His commandments to the fullest extent that we need to, but we still have done better than other nations of the earth. And there are many other nations, including Afghanistan, that we have given great constitutions to. Some even have had constitutions very similar to our own constitution, who have gone to where they are no longer free in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, it took very little time. We were told by Joe Biden, this Afghan army is powerful, and they have our weapons, and we've been training them. We've trained them for 20 years. They'll be able to hold this country. And even before we were out of the country, that was not true. They abandoned that equipment. We left, by the way, millions of dollars of equipment, some of which we did disable, but some of which we didn't disable. The Taliban even held a parade and flew one of our helicopters in their parade. So we just a huge waste of money has been made there, and a waste of life. There are men, including the brave men and women, who gave their lives, even some gave their lives right at the end, through the security clearance, and these are sons, they're daughters, they're fathers, maybe mothers, husbands, wives, that have given their life so that we can have freedom, but also more died than we're actually needed to die because of this idea that we could build nations, that we could take a people that hasn't demonstrated the ability to defend themselves and to protect themselves, and somehow by liberating them and giving them a constitution, we can make them free. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is our condition, the condition of all mankind, of every individual, of every man, of every woman. Without Jesus Christ, our heart is desperately wicked. And even with Jesus Christ, we still have to be pressing into Him, reading His Word, asking God to purify us and to make us more like Him and less like our sinful self. We also see that in the Bible, there's a blessing for obeying God, and when a people obeys God and hears His laws and obeys His commandments, that nation is blessed. And when a people disobeys Him and violates His commandments, that nation would be cursed. And we have seen this blessing. We saw this blessing in the Old Testament in the nation of Israel when they obeyed God. We also saw His judgment come upon that nation when they disobeyed Him. We have seen God's blessings happen in this nation, including even in the foundation of this nation, in the Revolutionary War, really miraculous interventions by God to aid our army in defeating the enemy. One of the things that we have read in the last few weeks and talked about is the nation applying biblical principles to the nation. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 10, This is Moses speaking. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law that which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your hearts, all your heart, all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life on the earth, that they may teach their children. So God gave his law to the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel was blessed beyond measure because of that, and because of the law of God, because the law of God was applied not only to their lives, but also to their families, to their religious worship. And we know that some of the things in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we don't need to do anymore. We don't need to shed the blood of bulls and goats, and we don't need to have a priest that goes before us to present our case before the Lord and to provide atonement, because Jesus is our high priest, and he is our Passover lamb. He's our scapegoat. He is the one who shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. But the moral law of God still stands, and that was applied to their government as well, to their civil government. And in this nation, our founding fathers sought, and the Pilgrims and the Puritans and those who came before sought to actually build a nation based on the Word of God and to keep his commandments. And the Puritans actually took the passage, a city set upon a hill. And they said, you know, that we should be a city set upon a hill, that other nations should look and say, what great nation is this? It has God so near to it. And we in this nation have been blessed beyond measure because of our obedience. The Bible actually says that God helps nations to win wars. Nations that obey him, he gives them strength in the time of battle and helps them defeat their enemies. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, we read, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, you're outnumbered. They have more equipment than you do. They have, in all natural terms, they have the ability to wipe you off the face of the earth. Do not be afraid of them, he says, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people and say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart be faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And we see many examples of that, God doing that in the Bible, fighting for the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know, God told them, if you obey me, you'll be blessed. And in Deuteronomy 28, we see the blessings and the curses. And in verse 7, we read, "The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways." So we see that God would give strength to the children of Israel and would actually empower them to defeat their enemies if they obeyed him. But if they didn't obey him, the opposite happens. And later in Deuteronomy 28, verses 25, 31, and 41, we read, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way, against them, and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth." Verse 31, "Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat it. Your donkey shall be violently taken from before you and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them." Verse 48, "Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you." And we see many examples of this in the Bible, of God actually raising up adversaries to fight against Israel. When they started sinning, when they started falling away from God, when they stopped reading the law of God and stopped applying it to their lives and stopped personally living for him. You know, when a nation, when the individuals in a nation stop pressing into God and stop seeking to obey him, the nation itself starts to disobey God. And that nation actually is then, God gives that nation over to evil people, and he raises up oppressors to rule over them. You see, it is, there's a reason why in America we have the freedom we have. It is because of the Pilgrims and the Puritans who fought to establish, and they worked to establish, and they prayed, and they worked to establish a nation, a community where the people would obey God. And our founding fathers actually turned back to God. And during that time of the founding time, President Washington, before he was president even, when he was general, he was calling for Americans to fall on their faces before God and to repent of their sins, to turn from their wicked ways, so that God could move on our behalf. He was calling for the soldiers to put off wickedness and to serve God. You see, a nation will either, and we have read this as we have talked about nations. Robert Winthrop, the former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, said this: "Men, in a word, must necessarily be controlled either by a power within them or by a power without them, either by the Word of God or by the strong arm of man, either by the Bible or the bayonet." And that is such a powerful quote there. If we self-govern, if we read the Bible, if we apply it to our lives, apply it to our families, to our churches, to our city, states, and nations, and our neighbors does the same, we as a nation will obey God. We will practice self-government, and we will be able to live free. But if we cast aside the restraints of the Word of God, and we want to live as we want to live, God will raise up enemies to rule over us. And I believe that the attackers on 9/11 were raised up by God to chasten us because of our sin, because we have, that doesn't mean that they're righteous, by the way, but we have departed from his commandments and his precepts and need to turn back to him. We read also from James McHenry, a signer of the Declaration or signer of the Constitution, said this: public utility pleads most forcibly for the general distribution of the Holy Scriptures. The doctrines they preach, the obligations they impose, the punishments they threaten, the rewards they promise, the stamp and image of divinity they bear, which produces a conviction of their truths, can alone secure to society order and peace, and to our courts of justice and constitutions of governments purity, stability, and usefulness. In vain, without the Bible, we increase penal laws and draw entrenchments around our institutions. Bibles are strong entrenchments. Where they abound, men cannot pursue wicked courses and at the same time enjoy quiet conscience. And we in this nation need to turn back to God. We need to repent of our sins and cry out to Him and turn back to Him. And we need to realize that other nations who are oppressed not because they have a dictator ruling over them. They're oppressed because they haven't looked at the law of God, cried out to God, and applied the self-government and allowed the law of God to restrain them. Nations that are liberated, whose hearts are not liberated, who have not bowed their knee before the throne of God and cried out for God to change their heart, and don't teach their children and their grandchildren the law of God, so that their children and their grandchildren can obey God where they have failed Him. Nations that don't do that will suffer, and those nations will once again be given over to tormentors. We need to realize this, and we need to work and pray and get on our knees and make sure that we ourselves are self-governing, that we ourselves are bowing before God's throne and applying His word to our lives and to our families. And we do need to apply it to our churches and to our cities, our states, and our nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. In America, we also have the right and responsibility to vote for those in elected office. September 21st, the city of Port St. Lucie is holding a special election for mayor and city council, District 3. FloridaVotesValues.com has produced a voter guide for this special election. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to find out where the candidates stand on issues that matter to you. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.